my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Reach.
No more fascist bullies disturbing our peace.
Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring interviews, music, news, and events on the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of health, peace, prosperity, harmony, and nonviolence. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management.
Examine it closely.
Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're featuring the activism of the vegan animal rights activists in Northern Ireland, Tuesday Sophia Gotti and her husband Andrew Gotti. And then we'll hear some awesome vegan music to end violence and exploitation.
Well, you know, I mean, the island of Ireland are considered to be very compassionate people, you know, having suffered oppression, human oppression for a long time. And, you know, every country says, oh, we're a nation of animal lovers, and we're just going to see if that's actually true across the board. So we're hoping, you know, that people will put their actions in line with their supposed espoused ethics. It's yet to be seen.
How do we anticipate that things will go for us in court whenever we're charged for these crimes that we've committed? I use little quotations for that. We honestly don't know. We don't know how that's going to pan out, because Andrew and me are obviously, we're parents to a very young baby, so the courts might see that it's better to punish us some other way, community service or a large fine, rather than take us away from our baby. And again, the only crime that we've committed is compassion. There's no crime committed.
We're listening to Tuesday Sophia Gotti in Northern Ireland. That was a prelude by Andrew, her husband, and Tuesday to our topic in this Vegan Nation program. We'll also be featuring some information from the United States about the Abolition Amendment, a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution to abolish all slavery. To abolish all slavery. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We are very fortunate to be joined by Tuesday and Andrew Gotti in Lisburn, Northern Ireland. Welcome, Tuesday and Andrew, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
It's great to be back.
It is indeed. Thank you for having us back.
Yes, you two are so powerful, and I want to congratulate you on your new baby, Arabella. Arabella Eden.
That's great. This could be her first opportunity to speak on radio. I'm sure she's here with us now, and she might make a few sleepy noises.
She might.
15 weeks. Yes, 15 weeks old. So I'm really looking forward to catching up on what's been happening. Let's take it from last year when you had the direct action with your organization, Meet the Victims. So Tuesday, that was the last time we spoke. And so I'd like to hear about what the both of you are now doing, including your work and activism with your organization, Expose NI, anti-speciesist animal rights activists exposing the truth behind animal use in Northern Ireland.
We've kind of been doing a lot since then. Obviously, we went into lockdown, so unfortunately we had to cancel the Meet the Victims 2, the second one in Northern Ireland that we had planned for 2 weeks after the first one, because we weren't able to have any activists arrive into the country due to lockdown. We then had it arranged for December. We again had to cancel it, and at the moment we're not organising another Meet the Victims because we just don't know what's happening with lockdown. So we just decided that whilst we couldn't actually fly any activists into the country, and we couldn't really do that much in the way of protests, marches, demonstrations or anything, although my husband did co-organise some of those, which I'm sure he can talk about, we decided we would keep up with our direct action in the way of basically entering farms at night, obtaining footage and liberating as many lives as we could.
Thank you. And when you say liberating lives, I really see this as your courage, your bravery, your compassion, and that this is making history. You know, we all learn throughout history that people have been liberating victims since the beginning of human slavery, which started approximately 12,000 years ago with the advent of animal agriculture, once humans started enslaving the animals, and then humans started enslaving humans. You know, it's a boomerang effect. What we put out comes back. And so, and also, too, with the Holocaust, all the brave people who rescued victims during the Holocaust as well. So I understand that there's many opinions and what people think about all this. And so I'd like to hear about your recent media coverage and what's been happening with that as well.
Yeah, well, we had a great opportunity, and we take everyone we can, just like yourself, spreading the good news, you know, of liberation for all, and not just for humans. So, yeah, we do fight for all oppression and discrimination, for you know, anti-racism, anti-LGBTQI discrimination, and obviously for the most oppressed beings of all, the longest and largest Holocaust still ongoing that people willfully participate in but turn a blind eye to, which is, of course, animal agriculture. So, yeah, we're really, really happy to be able to do what we did and to get the story out there, and that it's reached mass media, the national press, the UK's largest newspaper, which is a tabloid, the Daily Mail. Now, of course, they use a sensational type of headline. You know, they would try to make it look like, you know, we're obviously quite extreme in our views. Like, we just have very, I suppose, strong principles in terms of not needlessly incarcerating, breeding, mutilating, torturing, and killing millions of sentient beings. So, yeah, I mean, we do risk our own safety. We risk, obviously, getting caught by the farmers when we go into farms and possibly getting a beating or, you know, shot at or what have you. It just so happens that, you know, we fell pregnant. We didn't think that Tuesday could actually get pregnant. She was told years ago that she would never have a baby, just complications. Thankfully, we're a magic formula together. Yeah. I give her a little kiss. So, yeah. There we go. So, yeah, so I mean, you know, the naysayers and the detractors would try and paint us out to be reckless and say, no, you're endangering your unconsenting, unborn baby, you know, by going into harm's way. But I mean, there are babies strewn all over the floor, like with their tails clipped off, their testicles ripped out, their teeth clipped. And that's what we saw in there. We saw mothers separated from them, locked into farrowing crates, and our hearts bled, as any, you know, would-be mother or father should see suffering like that. So we felt compelled that we just had to do something. You know, I think your emotions are really stirred when you know that you have, you know, the miracle of life inside of you, and you treat it so preciously. And we lay the charge to all feminists that, you know, if you're a supposed feminist, that you would allow the reproductive systems to be exploited like they are, and you know, to steal the milk from a mother, take it away from her baby. So that's why we feel so strongly, and that's why, you know, we're, I suppose, put ourselves in harm's way, because we want our daughter to know that we did all we could to fight oppression of all kinds. She loves the dogs and the chickens that we have in our home. We don't want her to have any arbitrary discrimination against any species, you know. So we fought for that sort of world for her. There's obviously the climate crisis, there's the environmental issues, there's the zoonotic pandemics, including this one and all the other ones that have gone before, and the worry of swine flu and bird flus mutating, which are a real threat, and antibiotic resistance. So some people say, oh, you're being irresponsible, like you should just wrap yourselves up in cotton wool, sit tight, you know, be a good mummy, a breeding machine, and like don't join the revolution, you know, just, yeah, look after your baby. But no, there's more to be done on a worldwide scale than just your little insular bubble. You know, you have to look beyond that. It's a problem with families where they just get too wrapped up in their own little blinker thinking, and they ignore all the other issues going on around them, which will explode if we don't do something about it. So that's my little rant.
Yes, thank you. Yes, this is the Vegan Evolution Revolution. Like you said, this is about non-discrimination, non-violence, compassion, and justice. Wow, thank you both so much. Thank you, three of you. Ara, animal rights activist, 15 weeks old. Thank you, Tuesday. Ara and Andrew, you are a huge force in bringing about the revolution, the change into harmony and nonviolence and justice. I'm looking forward to hearing about your organization, Expose NI, Expose Northern Ireland. And I'd like to recap, though, go back to your work last year with Meet the Victims. For our listeners who might not have heard that interview, which you can hear in the Vegan Nation archives at vegansradio.wordpress.com, as well as the radio station index, wcuw.org/Vegan Nation. But for those who haven't heard it, let's hear a recap and again bring it back to what's happening with your family today.
On the 14th of January of last year, we held the first Meet the Victims action in Northern Ireland. Were, I think, around 40, maybe 38, I think it was 38 activists. They occupied a pig farm in Northern Ireland with us. We were only in there for 3.5 hours because we managed to get the negotiation of the legal liberation of one pig, and it was the first ever in the history of Meet the Victims that a negotiation has ever been agreed. There have been more now that have followed, but that was the first one, and he to date is still the first pig, and he's now living a really fantastic life in a wonderful sanctuary. But after seeing that, I think it was about a week later when I found that I was pregnant, and I was meant to fly to Israel to participate in another Meet the Victims, and then a few days later to fly to England to participate in a DXE action. But I cancelled both of those because I wasn't sure how far on I was and what was going to happen there. So I booked an early scan, found out the baby was perfect, everything was going well, and I was young enough. I was 30, what age am I, 33? Yeah, I'll be 34 next week. I was 33, I'm young enough, fit enough and healthy enough, so I decided I have to keep doing what we're doing. And because we were in lockdown and we couldn't organise, we couldn't have any more Meet the Victims because nobody was able to get into the country, we decided to do our own thing. And that's where Expose NI came about. We wanted something local, grassroots. And instead of just being me and my husband, we needed a strong team. And so we reached out to a few of our good trusted friends, such as Olive. Olive is one of our team members that is here. We reached out to her and several other girls and guys, and put together a really good team. And pretty much a couple of nights a week, we were going into farms, we were documenting everything that we were seeing in there, and we were liberating as many lives as we possibly could. And that's what we've been doing non-stop. And initially we were doing it undercover. We didn't want anybody knowing who we were. We partly didn't want people knowing who we were because we didn't want to take away from the animals, because it's about their faces and their rights, not our faces and our exposure. But we weren't making progress quick enough. While we were liberating lives, we weren't making changes here. Like, we were getting no closer to having the right to rescue here. So when we had the opportunity to get this mainstream in the media and the public eye, we took it, and we went on to a national, the largest national newspaper here. And from that, we've been invited on to This Morning, which is also a huge television show in the UK. And we're pretty much just taking every opportunity that we can get to get as much exposure while still going out into these farms each night, and also while sitting here waiting to be arrested.
Yeah.
Please tell us more about that.
Well, it was the efforts, I think, mostly of Direct Action Everywhere, managed to get, I believe it's called Rose's Law. So in Berkeley in California, it is now legal for concerned citizens, people concerned with justice for animals. They have the right to rescue, where they can go into a farm and take animals out who are in dire need, who are terribly neglected and need immediate veterinary care, and maybe taken off the hands of these abusers who are profiting from their exploitation. So we would hope that that could actually come into place here in law. We would certainly like to see what's happened in France and in the UK, where it's mandatory to have CCTV footage in slaughterhouses. I'd also like to see it in all farms, because, you know, what we want to get out is how food, you know, invert comes again, gets from farm to your plate. I think the public, given that their tax money is used to fund and bail out these terrible industries, you have a right to know exactly what's going on there, you know.
We're listening to Andrew Gotti via Skype in Northern Ireland. Andrew and his wife Tuesday Sophia are joining us from Lisburn, Northern Ireland. We're discussing Rose's Law, the right to rescue. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Andrew and Tuesday and more. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in.
Hi, this is Bud Sargent. Please join me every Saturday morning on the Four Green Fields, where we feature a wide variety of the best in Irish music.
Hey y'all, Motown Tom here, and I want you to stop whatever you're doing and tune in to the Jukebox of Motown every Wednesday morning from 9 until noon. It ain't nothing but a Motown dance party, so join the dance line, and we're going to be dancing in the streets every Wednesday.
Tune in every Saturday night, Sunday morning from 12 midnight until 3 a.m. It's the Love Session on 91.3 WCW Worcester with DJ Chuck Chillin. Tell a phone, tell a friend, tell your fam. You might even want to tell your mama and them.
Hi, this is Bruce. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org.
Welcome back from the break. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're joined by Tuesday and Andrew Gotti via Skype in Lisburn, Northern Ireland.
You know, there's the RSPCA, the Royal Society for Protection of Cruelty Against Animals. Then there's the USPCA, which is the Ulster version for Northern Ireland. They have the right to rescue domestic animals like dogs and cats and horses, people's preferred pet species. So there's no problem there. They can go in and take them off the abusive hands of individuals, but we would like to see the same being done and hold farmers to the same scrutiny, you know, and consumers to consider that what they're paying for, in the most part, pretty much across the board, is terrible abuse, because you can't turn an animal into a product without treating them like nothing, you know. So
yeah,
that's what we want, and we're going to fight for that. We probably will get arrested sometime soon.
We will be arrested. We were warned by the journalist who put, we didn't approach the Daily Mail. A journalist contacted us and she put it out there in the Daily Mail, snatched it up, and that's how that happened. But we were warned before that went to press that the PSNI, the Police Service of Northern Ireland, would be contacted. Are you aware of these two people and what they've been doing? And what they would do, they would reply, no comment, but they would then investigate, and I couldn't invite them to come to our door sooner rather than later, because they have been watching us for quite a while. So we're just waiting on being arrested. So when that morning, whenever it went to the when it went out that morning, we went straight up to one of our sanctuaries. We dropped off a lasagna and a cake, went and dropped another one off to my friend, and he was meant to be doing my eyebrows. I cancelled that, dropped off the food and came home, and we sat all day on the phone with my solicitor sorting out care for Arabella, so as social services couldn't take her, sorting out care for our animals, so as, well, animal welfare would not get involved. There's no welfare breaches here, and we're on very good terms with the authorities, the animal authorities here.
That's for our own companion animals that we have.
Yeah, here, like our cats and our dogs and our chickens. But thankfully, one of our team members would be stepping in to take over the childcare and the animal care. So we had that sorted as well.
Thank you, Olive.
Thanks, Olive.
Olive is a superstar. You know, she's a great support. So she is. And very brave herself.
Yes, extremely brave. We have one incredible team. And I think that was why whenever we found out we were pregnant, a lot of people would have sat down and said, look, the animals will be suffering long after I'm not pregnant, long after my daughter's grown up. Why don't we just stop? And I just thought, no, I couldn't, because if I was in the police or if I was a nurse working in a psychiatric hospital that put me at risk or whatever, I wouldn't have sat down and said, look, I can't work throughout my whole pregnancy or while my child is growing up in case I'm injured. This is every bit as vital as that work. So we carried on. We need to get the footage out there for people who are doing street outreach so they have the footage. We need to be inspiring politicians who do have the potential to make these changes within the law. They need to see our footage, they need to hear our stories and our recount of what we see so as they can make changes. And if we just sit back and do nothing, I think that shows that these animals' lives don't matter and that our lives matter more than theirs. And to me, that's just not true. And I know a lot of people would find that very hard to hear, how a mum could put farm animals before her own baby, but I don't. I put them as equal. And I know that my baby was protected inside me because my team would have stopped. If a farmer had caught us and went to hit us, my team would have stopped me from getting hit. I knew I was able to climb over fences. I knew I was able to get through fields and get away. I didn't put myself at risk, and I'm not putting my daughter at risk now. When we go out, my husband stays at home in bed with our daughter, and then the next night I'll stay at home. The next night I'll stay at home and my husband will go out. She's never at risk. The team treat her like one of their own as well, so nobody's at risk.
Thank you, Tuesday. Thank you, Angie, and thank you, Olive. And I know that Olive is there having dinner with you. So, Olive, could you please join us for a bit?
Any question or comment you'd like to add? We missed, or, you know, how's your experience been since you joined Expose NI, you know?
Yeah, my experience has been really great. Obviously, it's not something that anybody necessarily enjoys doing. It's a difficult thing to do. It's difficult to see anyone, human or not, in those conditions. I mean, it is a really great team we had, as Tuesday said, and we all really support each other, and I feel supported. I don't feel like I'm doing anything that I'm not comfortable with, and I don't feel like I'm pressured to do anything. I feel very much like we are a team and we all work together equally to do things that we all believe are the right thing to do. And I feel it's at the same time, it's difficult. It's also rewarding because when we do liberate animals, or when we do put footage out there and someone sees it and makes a different decision than they would have based on that footage, it feels like we've accomplished something, even if it is something very small.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. I just saw, and I don't know what country it was, but there was a vegan activist who played footage of a slaughterhouse on a street corner. And this vegan activist was fined because the footage was considered offensive. And I just thought the best description for carnist society, carnist meaning non-vegan, is insanity. That all these animals are being abused, exploited, enslaved, and suffering, and yet here, vegan activists such as yourself, which are risking life and liberty to expose the truth, are criminalized. What words do you have for vegan activists out there?
It should never be discounted, the power of showing local footage, because some people would say, ah, look, there's enough documentaries out there, everybody knows that it's bad. You always hear that reason, but as we know, and as we have exposed and shown through our footage that we've released through Expose NI, through Meet the Victims of Farm Occupation, and hopefully through another documentary going to be released soon, hopefully by the end of this month, that people will soon realise that welfare standards in farming mean nothing. So yeah, my advice is that it just keep going. It does work. It is effective. The people on outreaching on the streets in dialogue with the public, they need to see local footage. You know, I think we need more people. We have a very small team, and there's very few people that I guess are willing to take the risk that we have done here. My wife is a wonderful organizer, extremely methodical in her planning, very supportive and caring for the team in every way, whether it comes to cooking them nice meals, aftercare with the trauma that, you know, like Olive would have experienced by going in and seeing the horror up front, not just on a video. I'd almost want to take people out on tours, you know, if they ever question, oh, is it really that bad? So, well, come in here and hear the screams and smell the putridness in the air, and you'll come out feeling sick if you spend more than, you know, an hour in a place like that. Mm-hmm. Farmers themselves are only permitted to spend 2 or 2.5 hours per day in a piggery because it can be really bad for their lungs. Mm-hmm. They can get sarcoidosis, they can get asthma, all sorts of things. So, you know.
Yeah, and their mental health as well.
Their mental health, yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing I would like to touch on. Whenever you said, what would we say to vegans or vegan activists, everybody has a different approach to their form of veganism and their form of activism. Very, very few people do what we do, but everybody has an opinion on what we do. And while I don't think that everybody should necessarily go and do what we do, because it does take a lot of skills and a lot of studying how camera systems work, where the farmers are going to be on site, when they're going to be on site, I think maybe don't agree with us, maybe don't do it, but don't tear us down for it. We're already living with the trauma of what we see every night in these places. We don't need to come online and have people who are meant to be on the side of the animals and therefore our side tearing into us and saying we're reckless, we're irresponsible, we're doing the movement a disservice. We are doing absolutely everything we can to put an end to this absolute holocaust. We are trying so hard, and it would just be great to have either a bit of support, or if you can't support us, just be silent.
Also about a message to other activists, maybe as Tuesday said, not everyone would want to or would be able to do exactly what it is that we do, going into these places, breaking the law, putting ourselves at risk in some ways. A lot of people wouldn't be up to that, and that's completely understandable, but I think do what you can. Maybe you just have gone vegan and you're just getting into that, but I think people who have been vegan for a long time are really passionate about it. Just do what you can and don't push yourself to the point where you burn out, but definitely, being vegan really is the least that we can do for these animals, and I think doing as much as you can to kind of bring awareness or to help them in any way that you feel comfortable doing is so important, because we need as many people as possible doing that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Well, each life, that's yeah. another charge levied against people who rescue, to say, well, those lives that you save are just going to be replaced. You need to stop the demand. Demand is where it's at. You're wasting your resources. You're risking things for very little effect, is something that's been said. But obviously, each individual's life is worth fighting for, as we would for our daughter, mm-hmm. or anyone's offspring.
Yeah, liberating one animal or 10 animals, 20, whatever it is. Liberating an individual animal, it doesn't make a difference in the big picture of that farm is still going to keep running. Maybe if you're doing it in a private or a secretive way, that it's not going to create any further awareness, but for that one animal, it is their entire mm-hmm. life has just changed. You have literally mm-hmm. saved their life. Mm-hmm. So yes, it doesn't make a massive difference in the big picture, but it does make a massive difference for that individual, who is just as important as us, as our cats, our dogs, our pets and our companion animals. They are just as sentient and their lives are just as important to them as ours are to us. Mm-hmm. And also that, doing outreach and online kind of activism is very, very important. But I think both are equally important. Doing direct activism, doing covert mm-hmm. rescues is just mm-hmm. as important as outreach. Both have a place.
Yeah. Well, they feed into each other.
Yeah.
Without us going in and getting the footage, there would be no point on people standing on the streets. They would be saying, this is what goes on these farms, and people would be saying, can you show me? And they would say no, and people wouldn't believe it. They need us to go and put the footage, to get the footage for them to put out there. Regarding the resources, it being pointless because of the resources and whatever, it's our own money. We don't get any money for it. We don't crowdfund. We use our own money. And I thought that was our door there. Sorry, we're waiting on the police coming. I thought that was our door. Oh. Nearly threw baby in the air.
Oh, we can still joke.
That's Andrew and Tuesday Sophia Gotti and their team member, Olive, of Expose NI, joining us from Lisburn, Northern Ireland. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Please join us again next week for part two with Tuesday and Andrew Gotti. I'd like to share an announcement of a disclaimer. This radio station, programs, and management do not condone illegal activity. This is a platform for my guests to recount their activity. Thank goodness for free speech. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.wordpress.com. Thanks again for tuning into Vegan Nation. Wishing you a good day.